Hey guys, it's Megan Segura.
And it's Rachel Roberts.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Okay, big week. First of all, we have that epic Vegas trip and Shaw's MJ's Bachelorette trip. Mm-hmm. Also, why does everyone accuse people of cheating? That's coming up. And then we have Word on the Street with Eric J. Mack.
Hey.
We also talked to Vicki Gunvalson and Carrie Duber.
Yes.
Two housewives in the house.
Woo woo. And of course, we'll end things up with Rose and Thorn. First, hit us with the headlines, Nicole.
We have some huge news. Southern Charm's Thomas Ravenel is officially not returning for the next season of Southern Charm.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know.
But our biggest piece of news.
It's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad, low key.
All right, here's the thing, guys. Because you always reach out when a new episode isn't out, when we have to take a break. And I think the thing that differentiates maybe us from a lot of other podcasts is that we love the podcast so much, but it isn't our only job. It's a part of a bigger job, and therefore we don't necessarily have the same schedule as everyone else. We have, you know, other things happening. And with that, I'm going to let Rachel give her news.
This is my last podcast. On The Daily Dish. Yeah, I'm going somewhere else. I'm leaving Bravo after 6 years. It's just crazy.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I've been able to sit with this news for a while, but it still hurts.
I know. For the past 2 years that we've been doing this now, this has been the best part of my job. And I just have loved doing it with you, Megan, and having all the fans reach out and meeting amazing people through that and just talking about Bravo and, like, fangirling out. And it's just been, I just feel like I've grown so much as, like, someone that interviews people and just as, like, for my career. And I just will always, it's always going to be with me. And I just love The Daily Dish so much. And it breaks my heart that I'm leaving. But I love all of you.
I'm going to save my goodbyes for the end of this episode because I do, you know, I do want to deliver the very best last episode of Rachel we can, okay? But obviously it goes without saying. Can't imagine this podcast without you. All right, let's get into it. So I was watching Real Housewives of Dallas this week. Going through it, and at the very end, Leanne and Deandra have this conversation, and you think, oh, is this going to be a turn of events? Are they going to be friends again? And Deandra's like, yeah, but like, why are you really not getting married, Leanne? Are you afraid Rich is cheating on you?
What? I found it even crazier that she was like, I mean, I don't know. Like, she says that in an interview, like, well, I don't know if Rich is cheating or not. Like, to me, unless you're like, I have receipts and invoices a la Mariah Huck on Married to Medicine, which, like, I don't even know if those are real, I'm not going to approach you with this whatsoever.
Totally.
Unless I see with my own eyeballs. And even then, I don't even know if you should tell someone's cheating on them.
Right. I mean, I think what really bothers me is we see this happen again and again and again on our shows, mm-hmm. where someone just introduces the idea, oh, your partner might be cheating on you. Knowing, saying that on camera is going to put that into the mind of every viewer. So whether it's true or not, you're going to believe it on some level.
Right. I was going to say, I think it's totally different too of like, the fact that we're all watching this conversation makes it different, right?
Right.
Like, she could have brought that up to her in private, but the fact that you decided to bring it up while you guys are filming, to me, is like a so different level of like, what are you doing right now, Deandra?
Yeah.
Where is your friendship really at right now? Because this is messy.
Right. I mean, Vicki did this to Tamara on season 11 when she had told, well, I mean, it's a little different here because she told Kelly that information off camera, but then on camera on that bus ride in Ireland.
Right. Oh, Kelly's, never forget.
Kelly tells Tamara, well, Vicki told me that Eddie's gay.
But when I told that to Kelly, that shouldn't have been a big surprise, right?
But wrong. You said that I cannot be trusted and that my husband was gay.
Hang on a second. I didn't say that. I said there was a rumor that I repeated.
Okay, Vicky, repeating a rumor.
It was the same as telling it.
It's the same as
I know that.
Yes, it's gossip.
So to me, Vicky is not in the wrong. I mean, not great, but she didn't bring it up. She didn't want to get that messy.
She was in the wrong season 12, though, because then she had Gretchen and Tamara's ex-bestie to her birthday party, knowing, probably,
they might bring this
up. They might bring up these Eddie being gay rumors.
Right.
Ugh, not cool, Vicky.
No.
I think the most memorable for me is on New Jersey season 4. It was that crazy reunion where Jacqueline and Teresa hated each other, and they both were accusing each other's husbands of cheating. And Jacqueline said, "You told me you walked in on Joe with the secretary bent over on his desk."
Right, her legs up in the air or something. I distinctly remember, like, legs in the air or something like that. I mean, that reunion is still, I think, maybe the RHOA season, whatever it was with Phaedra, that was epic, of course. But I think this reunion was, like, the darkest.
Right.
It was so dark, that reunion. They just hated each other so much. And they were just saying everything.
I think the funniest cheating allegation was in season 9 of Real Housewives of Atlanta, when Portia said that, according to the blogs, Todd, he went under the name Marvin.
Right, when he was in New York.
Right, and that's the name he used when he was hooking up with other ladies in hotel rooms.
Right.
Benefit, why don't you call Todd and ask him about what he just told a girl in New York this past weekend?
Okay, please, I will ask.
Telling him his name is Marvin.
Okay.
So that he can cheat. Marvin, his alias, that's what you need to worry about.
Honestly, if I were Todd, would Marvin be the name I used to get chicks?
I think that's why it was so funny. It like sounded like she was literally coming up with any name she had. And Candy's just like, what are you talking about?
Oh,
so good.
And basically, every season of Vanderpump Rules, this happens, too. Right.
But it's always true.
I was going to say, because Lala being like, your man made out with my friend. And yeah, or Tom Schwartz did.
Entire season 2, did Jax and Christian hook up? Yes, we find out at the end. Yeah, I don't know if it's just like a really easy thing to throw at somebody.
But it's so mean.
I know.
Because not only are you putting the doubt in viewers' mind, maybe a little bit, in the partner's mind.
Well, you know what my favorite one of this is? Ramona with the
the psychic. At least the psychic wasn't being malicious. She's just saying what she sees in her visions.
Which she was, Ramona, apparently. Not Avery. Ramona's like, well, it's Avery. He's with Avery. And she's like, you see her with him. With
you think
else.
Of your husband and he thinks of another woman.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's ever a place in time to tell someone. Because you're always going to be the person that told them. I think the messenger gets shot.
Right. Oh, my God. And, of course, Bethany and Tom.
Right. How can we forget?
I mean, again, though, that was true.
Right. That was
not
true.
Not just
again.
Like a cheap shot. Like an actual, I have a photo on my phone.
Don't tell me it's about Tom.
Right.
It's about Tom. She didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have to.
No, I do believe if you know, you tell the person.
Yeah. Because how do you live with that? Yeah. And you see them. And then it's like you have this little secret.
But yeah, it could ruin a friendship.
Right. Or like you're the cause of them breaking up. You're not. The person cheating did. But I don't know. Still, it's tough.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, we know what housewives do.
They tell.
So, lesson learned.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that amazing episode of Shaws of Sunset.
Oh, it was so good.
Beginning to end, perfection.
Yes.
In my opinion.
And left me wanting more. I want to see the next part, too.
Yes. I've literally been waiting all season for them to go to Vegas.
Yes.
I have one gripe. MJ did a lot of talking, but I don't think she did a lot of walking that walk.
What does that mean?
Literally, she says things like, I need to get my titty sucked.
Right. Okay. I was going to ask. Tonight. Where you were going. You mean like, you mean when she said she was going to get banged and then didn't get banged?
Yeah. I want to be naked all the time.
Aren't
she just
we
says
happy
crazy
though?
Things.
She didn't.
No.
You wanted her to cheat on Tommy.
I didn't want her to cheat on Tommy, but I wanted crazy MJ one last time go out with a bang. And I was disappointed.
Yeah, she went to bed early.
When she was like, let's go home at like 1:30, or it was like midnight on the clock or something.
This is why you don't go out with your trainer, because your trainer is going to be like, oh, you having another drink, honey?
Well, did you see Craig was like, don't hate me because I made you have water, please. And I was like, ooh. So, yeah, that's my one gripe.
Well, when we had MJ and Reza on the podcast, they said that this trip was insane. So I'm kind of waiting for maybe more turn up next episode.
I know. One of my biggest regrets is that my last episode isn't after the second Vegas episode.
Oh, right.
Maybe I'll just tweet about it, I guess. So that's my one gripe. Another big thing I wanted to discuss is just Mike. I feel like I learned a lot about him. I had no idea he lived in Vegas for 10 years in his 20s.
Right.
Which I feel like told me so much about him.
It's like that SNL skit commercial with Kristen Wiig, and it's for a perfume called Red Flag.
Yes.
He's like, when she tells you she lived in Vegas for 10 years.
Yes. Red Flag. Yes. I was like, oh, Mike, this is a whole new Mike I'm seeing now.
Right.
Also, him and Morgan breaking up.
Oh.
I was shocked. I also loved that he told Reza in Farsi secretly on the side and was like, don't tell
anyone. As if they don't all speak Farsi, by the way.
I know. I was like, who are you hiding this from? Producers? They're going to run it back later.
Right.
Maybe he did. Maybe that's why they speak in Farsi sometimes.
Yeah.
So producers don't know?
But apparently they always know.
Right. And then he has this conversation with Gigi, which I wanted to discuss. Do we think she should give the ring back? Do we think she should just keep it and not wear it? What do we think about her wearing it on her wedding finger?
Okay, Emily Post rules state that once you're married, you don't give back the ring.
Ooh!
It's only if you, the female, are breaking off the engagement that you should give it back.
But she is married.
But, yeah, they legally married in the divorce. I think she should get to keep it. I mean, if we're going by Emily Post rules, I don't know if a lawyer or judge would see it that way.
Right. Well, I'm good with that.
The fact that she wears it on her ring finger still is odd to me. And I totally got what Mike was saying, where he's like, you're torturing this guy because he's still in love with you. And when he sees a ring on your finger, he right. thinks you're sending him a message.
Right. But I also got mad at Mike because he's confusing obsession with love. And I'm like, Mike, it's not fair for you to say that if she's feeling like uncomfortable, then it's past the point of, no, he's just in love with you. Like, no, there's he's gotten to an area that maybe isn't good.
Right.
Stop defending him.
Yeah.
Mike. Which I never thought I would say. Because I love Mike.
Trouble in Paradise.
I know, me and Mike. I don't know.
I would sell that ring.
Hell
and
yeah.
Get that $160,000.
Yeah.
And just buy myself maybe like a nice but smaller ring just to wear on a different finger and then use the rest for, I don't know,
anything else.
Down payment on a house.
So I thought that was an interesting conversation.
Right.
And then, of course, I want to discuss this Mike, Reza, MJ, knockdown, drag out at dinner.
Shervin, though. Shervin's the instigator.
You think?
Yes. He was like, hey, so Reza said that Morgan moved out. What's up? It's like, that was a secret.
Never confiding in you again because I can't trust you.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you for helping me build my house. I love you. You're my brother. I swear to God, I would give you anything you ever wanted, ever. Never again in my
life. You are the f***ing show. I do everything. You do nothing.
Shut the f*** up. We're in a f***ing restaurant.
Are you out of your
f***ing you?
Are you out of your f***ing mind?
First of all, I agree with Mike. I don't think Reza should have told anyone.
No, I agree.
I think he totally betrayed his trust. I don't care if he didn't give you, like, anything for the house. That doesn't mean you get to betray this person's trust.
Right.
So I was mad at Reza for that because I thought that was a low blow. Did you think Mike telling MJ that she's had half the city was a low blow?
Listen, you've had half the city. Relax. Don't
had half the city? I've had the whole city.
No, I mean... I know he meant it as one. I felt that, like, I kind of felt like MJ did, which is like, you're really going to use that? Like, I don't care.
I've had the whole city.
Exactly. Which is like she turned that comeback around on him so quickly that I was like, you're trying, but that's not, like, if he told her you have no money in your bank account, I think that would be
that's true.
Insane.
Right. Right. A $200 Deandra situation.
Right.
Right. Okay, I agree. What did you think when he came back and cried?
I loved that.
Me too.
A guy could do anything to me, but if he cries in his apology, JK, I mean, I don't forgive anyone.
No, this episode was like a roller coaster with me. Yeah. I was like, Mike, I don't know about this. And then I was like, oh, but you really care and you're crying now because you feel so betrayed by Reza. I was like mad because I feel like Reza does this to Mike.
Right. You know what I liked about this episode? That MJ, you know, she got a lot of shit because she put her paid staff as groomsmen in her wedding. But as she says in this episode, they're the ones that were being there for her at her bachelorette party. Everyone else cares about themselves.
No, completely. And I feel like I've been on bachelorette trips when I've been really mad at my friends who like do crazy shit that like ruin the night. And I'm like, this isn't about you.
Yeah, this is making sure that the bride is having her most epic night.
Right, not you acting a fool.
I bet Nicole is that friend though that leaves.
I'm that what?
You're the one that's like, I know I'm at your bachelorette, but Sage needs to go meet a man.
Sage is my weekend name. Anyway, you're right. I am that friend, and my friends hate me for it.
Hello, I'm Mark Evan Jackson from NBC's The Good Place and host of the official and appropriately titled The Good Place, the podcast, where guests like Kristen Bell, Ted Danson, and Mike Schur talk about everything on and off screen. Subscribe and listen free on your favorite podcast app.
The drama continued onto social media, so I wanted to bring that up in a very easy segue to Word on the Street.
Word on the Street.
With Eric J. Mack.
Yeah, so tell me what's going on.
The night of the premiere of that episode, Mike put up this Instagram story. Oh, it's gone!
What was it?
Just you describe. Missed the 24-hour window.
No, it hasn't even been 24 hours.
Describe it to
you
us.
You think he deleted it?
He deleted it.
Oh, ooh. My God. You guys, I literally showed this to Eric not even an hour ago.
Breaking news.
It is unfolding okay. As we speak.
Okay, so Reza, thank God, did screen grab it and then put it on his story.
Well, what is it?
Okay, so Mike put, real friendships run deep. If you never fought with your brother, y'all ain't really family. I love that fool with all my heart. Don't be fooled. Stay woke. At Reza. But he has since taken it down, right? But I think, but Reza put it in his Instagram story. And Reza added this around the same time to his story. So that means Mike put it up before he had, anyway.
What did they post?
Yeah, because that doesn't sound shady. So,
yeah, what's up with the, I mean, obviously the first thing that I think about is that I made some jokes about
getting your titty sucked,
which was just me talking
funny.
And then someone tried to shame me when he might be the person who's so many people has to leave LA.
But the thing that I wanted to say is MJ and I are super excited because the reunion is a hot minute away. So all y'all better get ready.
Strap
because
in.
We're about to keep it 100 and force everyone
to out
bring
themselves.
Receipts to the table.
Oh, we're our accountant's gonna be backstage with so many receipts.
Receipts. Like
ding,
adding machines and ding. Get ready.
Bring your scrolls.
Bring it.
Well, I have some more, I think, lighthearted things to talk about today. The first thing I wanted to talk about was, because I would be remiss if I didn't, is the Hadid family video that Vogue posted for New York Fashion Week.
Good.
So they were basically promoting, I think, the spring 2019 collection, and they reenacted the famous dinner scene from Beetlejuice with like Catherine O'Hara and everything. So just the thought of Yolanda Hadid channeling Catherine O'Hara makes me so happy.
Oh my God, yes!
It's just incredible. So it's fun to see them all together and just being kind of playful and silly, and it's still high fashion.
Right.
So it really was just, and it was like so many people were talking about it.
I also loved it because I don't think of Yolanda as someone who's silly.
Right.
The fact that she would take part in this, which I mean, I guess if Vogue asks you, you're gonna do it, but I love how into it she was.
Totally, and it was definitely like when I was watching it the first time, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, what's happening? Like, is that Yolanda Hadid? You know, like, it just was so, it kind of did catch me off guard.
And we both watched Schitt's Creek, which Dan Levy has said, he was like, what if one of these Real Housewives was put into, like, this motel? So it's Catherine O'Hara imitating Housewives, and then Yolanda imitating Catherine O'Hara. It just blew my mind.
It's meta, inception. meta.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, wild. Yeah, absolutely. So that I thought was really fun. So I wanted to definitely address that. And then just today, actually, Luann posted some footage from the music video for Girl Code that never was. It was a video of her daughter. Did you guys see that?
I did. Me and Megan were there that day.
What? We were there at the filming of the music video that never saw the light of day.
We filmed all the stuff backstage. I feel like I was there for Dorinda all day. She'd be like, does this look good? Are you sure? I'd be like, yes, Dorinda, you're beautiful. It's amazing. Like, some images that will never be seen is, like, Dorinda surrounded by men lifting her up with, like, a disco ball.
Right. I don't know what happened there, why they didn't use the video, but that day was magical.
Truly, it was. It was, like, one of the first, I feel like, things that I went to that Housewives were at. This was, like, before we were starting to go to reunions a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was just, like, a very, very special day.
There must be some more footage somewhere. Like, can we get a hold of that and, like, make our own music video?
We
like,
have
we will
a lot.
Cut it. We'll cut it for you, Lou. Don't even worry about it. We got this. So I thought that was really cool. And that's really cool that you guys were there. I didn't know that. We also have, I wanted to talk about Teresa Giudice. She posted on her story today. There's a lot going on her story right now. She posted these branded pre and post workout drinks. And is this the beginning of like a fitness empire for her? I mean,
what do you mean? I thought branded to her?
Yes.
Yeah. They're pre and post workout, and it's, you know, the branding is hers. And I mean, she's really taking this sort of fitness thing, I think, to the next level. And it's going to be kind of a new venture for her.
I was going to say Housewives hawking protein shakes is nothing new. But right. Yeah, to do their own.
Right, to do their own. No more flat tummy tea for Teresa. She's got her own things going on.
And then it was like a swipe up to like Teresa Giudice products.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, she did say in her last book, Standing Strong, that's her goal is to start some sort of empire. I guess she's doing it.
Ugh, I just want to just keep seeing her soar.
Yeah.
That's all.
She's doing it. She's going to be the next Jillian Michaels.
Yes. Wow.
Throwback.
Her profile picture is also just, I want everyone to see it.
She also is very upset about JWoww and Roger's divorce, which I think we all are.
I am very upset.
I just can't believe it. I thought they were either. Like, for real in love.
But right. At the same time, they always talked about how they never had sex. I don't know.
I thought it was like a cheeky thing, like Lisa Vanderpump and, you know, like being like, we never do that. But they must. I mean, they have a couple kids.
Right.
We have to make twice.
We've had sex twice at least.
Right. Well, I wish Jenny nothing but the best. And I think Teresa does too.
Not Roger.
No.
America's going to take Joao's side.
Right. We've already taken her side.
JWoww. I know, but now I just want to call her JWoww.
JWoww. the last thing I wanted to talk about, too, was something that I really loved, and it was Kim Richards. She just celebrated her birthday, and all of the sisters were back together. Kathy was there. Kyle was there. They all looked super happy. Kim seems really healthy. It was just nice to see them all together, because after watching, you know, everything that Kyle went through in the last couple seasons with American Woman and sort of not really being in touch with Kathy and like things just being strained with Kim too, it's nice to see them all come back together for like this shared experience and just like celebrating family again.
That is the reality show I want, is just the three of them.
Yeah.
In family therapy.
Ugh, in family
with Dr.
So
Drew.
Good. So
maybe.
Good.
Maybe.
It's like, that is the best idea I've ever heard. My official pitch.
Yeah.
I would hope that we get a little guest appearance from Paris then, because she is also an OG reality show.
Absolutely.
Queen.
It's true.
There is no denying.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, make sure to follow Eric J. Mack and tag him in all the stories you want him to see.
Let me know what's going on in the streets.
We have a couple interviews, amazing ones.
You got to talk to Vicky Gumbelson.
Yes, because as I said to her, we talked to her at the beginning of the season, but then so much happened after that. So we talked about everything, including Kelly stuff. Here you go. Here with Vicky Gumbelson. Vicky, you were here at the start of the season, but now I'm like, we have so much to talk about.
I know.
Already.
I know. We're only coming up with episode 9, so there's a lot more after this, too.
Yes.
So.
Okay. I want to hit the big points.
Let's do it.
Your relationship coming under fire again this season.
You know what? One of my friends told me years ago, if they're not talking about you, you got something to worry about. So that's my stance. They are always are going to talk about me, and I'm fine with it. Steve and I laugh about it. It's just really kind of comical. This is typical Kelly, typical Shannon, typical Tamara. It's like, now what? I know what I have, and we're happy. That's it.
You know, you seem different this season in terms of how you are reacting to things, because I do feel like Kelly's the driver of this sort of rumor that Steve's with you for your money, but you're still inviting her for dinners and you're still like very peaceful.
Right. I'm at a good place in my life and she's not going to destroy my joy. I know the truth. And so we're happy. And Kelly's not happy. She's not in a good place in her life. And I wish she was, because when she was married with Michael, even though she wasn't happily married, she was a different Kelly. Now she is just literally, I don't know who she is.
How do you feel like she's changed?
Well, she's very, very extreme with her emotions. You can tell by every scene she's yelling or being rude to somebody. If you're friends with somebody, you want the best for them. I want the best for all my friends. I don't want to go after any of them stating something that may or may not be true. Like, let's just film a good show, be inspirational, let's have fun. Yeah. How does she know what my net worth is and what Steve's net worth is? We don't talk about money. It's not important to us. What's important to us is our integrity, our love for each other, our commitment. Our family is extremely important to us. He's got 4 kids, 4 grandkids. I don't care if he's got a dollar or $1 billion. It doesn't matter to me. We don't commingle money. So we never will. Even if we got married, we don't. So I'm good. I mean, it's like rabbits talking in my ear. It's just like, it doesn't matter. I don't care what she says.
Mm. Of all the ladies, well, I'll say of Shannon, Tamara, and Kelly, who are you closest to today?
Well, the Tres Amigos, we're still really close, you know, Tamara, Shannon, and I. I'm really getting to know Gina and Emily better, and it's good. I'm in a good place with all the ladies, actually. Just great. Kelly's mad at me. I don't, you know, whatever. I just think she's trying to get attention for some reason, and it's not good attention. I wish she would just settle down and be kind. I don't know what her motive is. I haven't figured it out yet, and I haven't called her to ask her, but I have to believe she's trying to stay relevant and trying to just cause problems for really no reason.
Yeah. I feel like another relationship under fire is Emily and Shane, and you have a unique perspective on this.
I do.
Do you feel like you relate to what Emily's going through?
Well, first of all, I think Shane was completely accosted by Kelly's verbal abuse for no reason. I mean, she's calling him a little bit. She doesn't know him. She knew he was married to Emily because they had just gotten introduced 30 minutes before. Did she not remember? And I just think that she doesn't have a lot of respect for men. So for her, it's easy to talk like that to men. I would never speak that way to a man or a woman for that matter. But really, men I have respect for. So, I mean, it's clearly she doesn't. She came in there gunning it. She came in there to try to talk to Steve. I told her in the very onset of the party, don't talk to him then. There's 30 people here. There's a lot of other people to talk to. And she couldn't let that go. She had to go. And he wants nothing to do with her.
Well, he is like an escape artist at that party. Like, he was able to just pivot right out of that.
He wants nothing to do with her. I mean, you can very clearly see he doesn't want to be around her, doesn't want to socialize with her, doesn't want. But he is good friends with Michael.
So. Yeah. Are you still friends with Michael?
I haven't seen Michael in 4 months.
Okay.
So we actually haven't seen Michael in 4 months. I got to believe Kelly put a little bug in Michael's ear to tell him to not be friends with us right now. We're okay. You know, we're there for Michael. He was really in a bad place when they got divorced, and we had him over for the holidays, and, you know, we're friends. And when you're friends, you're there for somebody when they're not doing well, and we would be there for Kelly. It's just she was off traveling and doing her thing, and, you know, she wasn't around at all. In November, when we stopped filming, my daughter moved. I didn't hear one phone call from Kelly. She never asked me how I was doing. It was Kelly, 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 Kelly. And we heard the other side of Michael, what he had been going through with her, and it wasn't good. And I got to believe Kelly didn't want us to be close with Michael because she didn't want us to know really what all had gone down in their marriage. And it's sad. I wanted them to stay together. You know, I had hoped they did, because Michael really loved and cared for Kelly. And I think he still does.
Hmm.
And I think she still does.
And you're such an advocate for marriage and Absolutely. Staying together. So I'm sure the news of Gina's divorce was very, it's kind of confusing for the audience.
It's really
so
confusing.
I'm sure it is.
She says she has sex with him and she's attracted to him and they have a great marriage. Like, then why are you getting divorced?
Right.
I mean, those are the basics of, you know, you get along, you respect each other, you've got three small children, she doesn't work. Why are you getting divorced?
Have you found the answer?
No, and I'm not going to pry anymore. I just felt like I'm there for her if she needs me for strength. I mean, I talked to her mom and dad. You'll see in upcoming episodes. I really cried because I said, you know what? I feel bad for Gina. She doesn't live near her parents. She doesn't have the support of her parents. When I got divorced from Mike, my mom and dad were there for me to help me with the babies and, you know, babysit Michael and Brianna when I was single. But she doesn't have them here. So I don't really know if she's going to go back to Long Island. She says she's not. But I just want her to know that I'm there for her. And, you know, whatever decision she makes, she's going to have to lay in her bed. I mean, it's really a lifelong decision when you get divorced.
Right. Do you see it all, you know, not that she's at all like your daughter, but they're close in
age.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like a motherly instinct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I do feel like a motherly instinct because I want to teach her and encourage her on some things. I mean, she needs to go get a job. I mean, how is she going? She can't just rely on child support. She lives in Cota de Casa. Their house was for sale. Now I guess it's not for sale, but you know, you can't sit back and expect your ex-husband to provide 100%. She's going to have to go to work. I mean, I've never not worked. So for me, I'm going to encourage her to find, you know, something that she really enjoys and inspire her to find her place now, her new normal.
Maybe she could work for you.
Maybe. We're hiring.
Oh, hey.
No, one of the greatest things, I started my insurance business when I was 28 years old. And I'm 56 now, so it's been a long journey. But if I didn't have my career, I don't think I could have gotten through the rough times because I had a place to go every day. I had a place where I felt needed. My staff needs me. My clients need me. And regardless of my relationships, good or bad, I've got my work.
Yeah.
And that's important for me. And I know a lot of women out there that have a place to go when all around them, right?
Yep. Well, because you are such a savvy businesswoman, you're always diversifying, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I want to know, if you had to choose, which would you invest in because you felt like mm-hmm. it's a better investment? Cut Fitness or Shannon Bedore's new food line?
Oh my gosh. The issue is this. I don't know either one of their business plans. I don't know what the split is with QVC. I mean, at the end of the day, Shannon doesn't own QVC. Tamara owns Cut Fitness. So I'm going to leer on the side of an ownership of a company, which is Tamara. I mean, her and Eddie have built a beautiful gym and they've got a lot of members and I'm really proud of them. So, you know, Shannon's doing great. She's getting out there and she hasn't worked in, I don't think, forever.
Right.
So I'm proud of both of them. I mean, these girls know how to be creative with what they have to do and what they like to do. And Shannon loves to cook and Tamara loves to work out and I love to sell insurance. So we all got to find our way to be able to have a space in this life where we feel wanted and needed and something that you enjoy to do.
Yeah. I talked to someone who worked on this season in the production end and they said, wait for the vacation to Jamaica. I think it's Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They said, it gets crazy.
It gets crazy. And for me, I was the same calming force in all this. And I'm like, wow, when that happens, we got a shit show. So yeah, it gets crazy. And it was a little sad again. Shannon and I have gotten super close. In fact, we talked last night. And I never went sideways with Shannon. She kind of went sideways with me. But we were easily reconcilable because we were alike. We had kind hearts and mm-hmm. and we want the best for each other. And it's been great getting to be back with her and Tamara. So we call ourselves the Tres Amigos. We're going out this Thursday night. And it's Tres Amigos, you know, but Ooh. We do. We try to, we're on one chain together, the three of us. And we just, you know, try to stay in touch every few days. And it's nice to be able to text or email or call each other and, you know, there's something that Tamara said on tonight's episode. I called her. I'm like, really? She's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, Tamara, come on. You know, just be nice. So it's okay.
Okay. Well, I need to know, just for context, which would you say was harder to live through? The Jamaica trip or the bus ride in Ireland?
Oh, harder to live through the bus ride in Ireland.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because the Jamaica trip, I get on the plane and I'm good with everybody.
Okay.
You know, so the Ireland trip was so distorted and not really truth what happened, what Kelly did to me. She literally threw me under the bus and I didn't have a chance to explain what she was saying. So that there's nothing that could happen that would compare to that.
Yeah.
Because we were in a good place an hour before that. So.
Yikes. Yeah. You're going to watch What Happens Live tonight?
I am.
Do you still get excited to see Andy Cohen, or is it just like, yeah?
I get excited about just doing the show. You know, I love Andy, and Andy's done a fabulous job with the show. But it's not just Andy; it's everybody. It's a good energy. It's happy. It's goofy. It's the drinking game. You know, right. Watch it here. It's kind of the same thing over and over again. But I enjoy New York. I've got a lot of fun things happening in New York. I've got some people that I'm meeting later on for some meetings, possibly a play. Ooh. That I'm going to be in. So, you know, I've got a lot of things in the works. I want to write another book. Looking at sitcom. I mean, there's a lot of fun things that my life isn't over yet. I've got just a lot of whatever I want to do, I'm going to do now at this time in my life. I don't have to have being controlled by anybody or have my kids to worry about. Like, they're both adults. They're both doing fabulous. And, you know, my Coda insurance is growing. I've got a Coda financial now. We're franchising. And I'm busy and I'm happy and things are good. Mm. Finally. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Right? Lots of prayer.
Brandi Redman from Real Housewives of Dallas told us that she once drunk texted Andy about her tagline. And she was like, it's the most embarrassed I've ever been. Because like the next morning she woke up and was like, what did I do?
So funny.
Have you ever had a moment like that with Andy?
No, I don't get overserved much anymore. I mean, even in Mexico, I don't know if you knew, but I don't know if the people saw, but I was throwing a lot of the shots over my shoulders.
You did it at your birthday lunch,
too.
So I do,
because I'm not a shot girl anymore. I don't like how I feel when I get drunk. I don't like the calories. I'm over it. So that's why I didn't take my clothes off, and that's why I stayed in my robe, because I'm a professional, first of all. But I wasn't drunk. I was never drunk that entire time, because I threw a lot of the tequila shots over the shoulder. But I did count up to more than 15, I think, they drank. That's when my shoulder was wet all night. Right. I'm like, dang. But it's good. You know, I love to have a good time. I love to whoop it up. And, you know, unfortunately, there's drama on our show. You put five or six women together, we're going to be opinionated on certain things. And my boyfriend, Steve, really doesn't want to be a part of it. I mean, he will walk out of anything that looks icky or confrontational. He'll be there for me, but you won't see him a lot with any group issues.
Mm. What if Steve said, pick me or the show?
I'm not going to entertain that, because it's my job and he would never say that to me.
Yeah.
But I love doing the Housewives of Orange County. He started dating me and I had to tell him, you know, I'm on a little reality show, because he had never watched it. So I'm like, he's like, why does somebody want your picture? I'm like, oh, I'm on a little reality show. But he's not that kind of guy.
He would never take you from us.
He would never give me that compromise. Yeah. I mean, he's not that kind of guy. He has his own career. He does his own thing. I do my own thing. We meet together at the end of the day and, you know, we have a really, really incredible relationship. So there is no drama with us. We and people are going to pick at us for whatever reason. My theory is just leave us alone. Let us figure out our life. And if we make it, we make it. If we don't, I'll carry on again.
Yeah.
You know,
outside of your own OC world, are there any housewives you like to whoop it up with?
I do. Ramona and I were just in Mykonos together by chance. So we whooped it up. And
I can't imagine.
I know. Steve's like, she's a lot like you. I'm like, wait. So we see each other. And then I'm friends with Jill Zarin. We saw each other in LA when she was in town. But I don't, you know, I'm friends with Cynthia Bailey. And I don't really get a chance. I don't have a lot of free time. I don't call them all up. And Luann and I have texted a lot lately. And she said, next time you're in New York, I'd love to get together. And I just don't have time. Right. So, but everybody's cool. Everybody's, you know, we have a job to do for Bravo. And I'm committed to Bravo. I put my heart and soul into every season. And I just want them proud of me, because I do give them all of my life. I don't really hold back. I don't think about what I'm going to film tomorrow. My life is chaos and crazy, and that's why I've been on for 13 years. Like, I'm not laying down, you know, and just letting the grass grow under my feet. I'm always thinking about how to be a better person, how to expand my business, how to look at new ventures, and it's fun.
Yeah, I know. And we love you for it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So if you're like me, you've probably walked down the vitamin aisle at a grocery store and been completely overwhelmed and confused. Thankfully, I discovered Care Of, which is a subscription vitamin service. They give you monthly deliveries of personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. So you're not sure what you need? Okay, join the club. Care Of's fun online quiz asks you about your diet, health, goals, and lifestyle choices. And it takes only 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. The one thing Care Of was able to help me with is when I'm just feeling completely zapped and devoid of energy, they were able to give me a vitamin for a little bit of boost, which I can't tell you how much it helps. So make sure to get 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter promo code Daily Dish. That's takecareof.com, Daily Dish. So we talked to Carrie Duber from Real Housewives of Dallas, not only about what was happening this season, but her new job that's all about Botox, fillers, lasers, right. You name it.
She talked about the First Wives Club.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, here's that.
We are here with Carrie Duber.
Hello, hello, friends.
Hi. Another season of Dallas.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
Season 3.
Wow.
I know. It's awesome.
What is it like going into season 3 after, like, compared to first season?
Well, you know, it's different. I definitely have learned a lot about the other ladies and about myself. You know, I'm a little less scared.
All right.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's definitely fear when you're doing something new. And so it's been, you know, it's been a journey.
I wanted to start off with, you're back at work.
I am just in a different capacity. My husband, I don't work. I don't operate with him anymore. Now I run our laser center that we opened, or I opened. And then I inject on Thursdays. So I'm still there injecting, and also hired another nurse injector and 2 laser techs. So it's great. Things are moving.
What did Mark think? Because I know that last season that was kind of the crux of the argument, was he wants you with him. You
definitely
know?
Yeah, that's a point. It was a point of contention. But, you know, now it actually works better, because I can be home with Zuri in the mornings and take her, you know, drive carpool, and then, you know, be at work. I'm still at the office. I'm just, you know, there on hours that are better for me and Zuri, and it actually works out for everyone.
Being an expert in all things injectable, yes, and Botoxable, yes, and everything. Yes. So if you had to get rid of something for the rest of your life, would it be Botox, fillers, or implants?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's hard. I, you know what? I would probably say fillers.
Why? Really?
Just because, I mean, in my practice, my patients look very natural. I'm very conservative, a very conservative injector. I just don't like the filler face look. Like, it really bugs me. I would rather my forehead not move before, you know, having like full cheeks or anything like that. Like, I actually don't really use many fillers in myself very often. So I would say fillers could get the boot.
What really causes that filler face? Is it just too much?
Too much injection. Yeah. Too much. I mean, I think, you know, you don't want to under inject, but you also just don't want to over inject. Right. I mean, people were starting to, I feel like, inject a little bit too much in the midface and in the cheek, you know, and people start getting really full cheeks, which, you know, you do have when you're young to an extent. I mean, I used to have a lot more fat in my face, and, you know, as you get older, you lose that baby fat, and that's what fillers, you know, you're trying to replace that baby fat, but I just feel like it looks unnatural.
Is there, like, a celebrity that you're like, oh, no, things definitely went wrong here?
I mean, there are plenty. I mean, I don't name names. That's, you know, a hit after me.
Right, right.
But I mean, you know, there's plenty of people that I feel like, you know, are over-injected and you know, should have gone to someone with a lighter hand.
Certainly no one on our network.
Oh, right. Certainly not. Yeah. No, never.
Do any of your fellow Dallas housewives come to you now?
Even if they did, I couldn't say.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
nice
realize.
Though. That was a good one. That was a good one. Playing hardball with me. There's something called HIPAA. They could tell you, but I can't.
Okay, right,
so,
right.
We'll so you can ask
when
them.
They come. Yeah. Well, do you do your own?
I do. Yeah, I can't tell you that because I'm not going to sue myself. so yeah, I do. I do my own own Botox. I haven't done my lips in probably 2 years, so I haven't had any filler in probably about 2 years.
What's that process like when you stop doing filler in your lips?
I mean, just looks like this. You're looking at it. You're looking at the process.
I mean,
it just kind of, you know, fades away over time. Okay. So it's hyaluronic acid and, you know, it just kind of dissolves eventually and just kind of go back to normal. Unless you've had too much filler and then it starts dissolving and then you don't replace it. So if you think about, like, think about a breast implant, right? When you put it in under the muscle and under the skin, it stretches the skin. So fillers do the same thing. So if you're injecting a whole lot of filler in your lips, then you're going to, when it dissolves and you don't re-inject it, you're going to have extra skin because it stretches. I feel, you know, it kind of, you it's can like, see it a little bit and it might create more wrinkles or more loose skin, just like if you lost weight. Something like that. So
like at a certain point, it's like once you go.
Well, yeah. Once you go, can't you go you back. Gotta have fun on that ride.
Okay. Yeah. Like it's Goldie Hawn on First Wives.
Right.
Wow. Yes.
I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I heard they injected her with like saline or something.
Oh my God, that makes sense.
But gosh, that would hurt. And, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were so big.
So big.
Like so that it would go away, obviously.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. I love that you just solved this mystery.
Well, I don't know. I'm that's what I heard, you know. And I do not have an insider, you know.
You did it. We get it.
Yeah. It was me.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about Mark this season.
Yeah.
We see how he's a really hands-on dad.
He is.
Has he gotten a different response this season compared to last?
Yeah, I mean, it couldn't have been worse. you know, I feel like, you know, you take a small portion of someone's life, and he's an amazing father, an amazing husband. He's my best friend. We've been married almost 9 years now. Contrary to popular belief, you would think that we were, you know, just got married, but we've been together 10 years total. He's amazing man, and I'm so thankful and blessed that, you know, he stood by me and stood by us, you know, and even grew closer through all the turmoil that we went through last year. It was really tough. It was really hard on our family. It was hard on our kids, you know, not my little one, but my stepkids. You know, I mean, it was tough. I don't think people don't think before they speak. And I think they definitely don't think about the consequences of, you know, maybe their words and their actions, you know, even on little ones, you know, on minors. So, and for my husband too. But he's a trooper, and he's a tough man and amazing surgeon, and you know, he's above it and, you know, moved on.
Well, I do want to know more about your stepkids, if you don't mind sharing.
For sure.
Just because we don't get to see that part. And you know, what's your relationship like? What's their ages even?
Yeah, so Laura is 18 and she's a senior in high school, and she just started her senior year. And so Zuri is 5 and just started kinder, and they're at the same school. Aww. Together. So it's really sweet because they get to, like, Laura drove her this morning because I'm here in New York. And so Laura drove her to school this morning. And so that's sweet. And my stepson is 21 and he is in college and is a film major and has one more year, and then he graduates, and then, you know, we'll see. So we're getting one off the payroll pretty soon.
Fingers crossed.
So yes, exactly. So he was actually here at NBC this summer doing a little internship.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm really close to them. They're like two of my best friends. So I'm really fortunate. I, you know, put in the work, which you have to do as a step parent, and, you know, really getting in there, getting in the crux of everything, and, you know, but it's well, more than paid off. I mean, he even said, we were having dinner here actually in 11 Madison Park. We came in, my husband and I flew in to have dinner with him, and he said the most amazing thing that was music to my ears. We were sitting at dinner, and he said, you know, he'll probably kill me for saying this, but, you know, he was like, I actually love divorce. And I was like, why would you say that? And he said, you know why? Because my mom's happy, my stepmom's happy, and my dad's happy, and all the kids are happy. And I was like, that's a great, like, that means I did my job. You know, we all did our jobs.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Speaking of that, I was so struck by you opening up in Beaver Creek about your past with divorce and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I've been through it, you know. I mean, everybody has, though. You know, everybody has their story. Everybody has their deal. I've been married twice before, actually, Mark. My first marriage was too young, you know, out of college, 21 years old or 22. You know, just I can't even fathom that now. Looking at my stepson, I'm like, dear God, you can't make decisions like that. You know, and then the other one, you know, was just one of those 3-week deals. And actually got it annulled. It was
like a Britney Spears.
Yeah. So anyhow, but yeah, you know, I feel like marriage is a commitment, something that's serious and something that you need to give thought to. And, you know, I think Leanne's doing that. So
speaking of Leanne, when we talked to her in the office, she was still very like quiet about everything. Do you know anything about her marriage plans? Do you think she will get married?
You know, I don't know what her plans are, and I really haven't pried, just because I don't feel like it's my place, and I feel like that's her business. I want to support her, and I'm happy if, you know, if she needs a friend or needs someone to talk to, I'm happy to talk to her about it. And when she, you know, wants to talk to me about it, she can, and it can be a private or, you know, whatever. I really don't know anything about it right now.
Well, having been married 10 years, do you feel like when a couple is sort of hesitating to walk down the aisle, is that a sign of things to come?
Yeah, I don't really know. You know, I mean, like, I feel like it's very American. You know, I in Europe, people don't get married that much. You know, I feel like it's a very American thing to be like, oh, aren't you getting married? You know, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And I there's nothing, you know, I mean, I think, you know, it's scary. There's fear involved. And I think that's something you have to work through. And I think it's smart to take your time. So that's my take.
Hearing you talk about Leanne is kind of like watching pigs fly for me. Just right. Considering your relationship.
Same. Same.
I know that you guys kind of came together and you came into the season like a very different attitude. Yeah. Is that what you attribute it to, or have you seen a new side of Leanne?
I think I attribute it to both of us. I think that I definitely stood my ground, stood up for myself, and I'm like, you know what? No more. I'm not a doormat, and I'm not going to be run over by any of these ladies. Like, I think that I finally found my voice and my ability to just be like, you know, this is who I am. I think I was scared and intimidated before, and, I mean, I was scared of Leanne. I mean, I was really, like, terrified because – you know, it was a scary, I just had a really scary couple years. and I feel like just laying down some boundaries and being really straightforward and honest with her was the best thing that I could have done. So for me, from my perspective, I feel like, you know, things are better, you know, and you know, it'll take time. And that's, you know, what I told her is just going to, you know, I need time, but I need to be able to walk in a room and see you and not feel like I'm going to throw up. You know, I mean, you know, like with anxiety.
Right.
You know,
right.
I didn't want to feel like, and I think she felt in a similar way. I think we both wanted peace.
Well, having lived the season, but you know, it's a different experience watching it. Mm-hmm. So when you sit down to watch the episode, are you nervous about what you're going to hear come out of her mouth? Or are you confident that like you guys are moving on?
I'm generally nervous as to what's going to come out of my mouth. So I'm probably too nervous about my mouth to think about anyone else's, really. So, not really. I mean, I'm not concerned. This year, I'm not concerned with anybody but myself. I mean, and I don't say that in a selfish way. I don't say that in an egotistical way because I'm a very actually selfless person. I just have decided, you know, I gotta look out for number one and be a good friend. And by taking care of myself, I'm taking care of my friends. You know, I feel like it's almost similar to a marriage where you're like, you know what, if you're not healthy in your relationship, you're not going to be, you know, with yourself, you're not gonna be healthy in your relationship. And that's actually kind of how I feel with these girls is just, I needed to find a way to better express myself, better communicate. And, you know, and that's kind of what I was trying to express to Cam also is just, you know, communication is key and doing it in a way that everybody understands.
We see that this show kind of sometimes strains relationships. We saw with Brandy and Stephanie last season. Do you think that's what's happening with you and Cam this season?
No, I mean, I hope not. But, you know, I think that you go through growing pains in relationships. You know, I care about Cam. I think she's a sweet girl. I don't, you know, have a bad word to say about her. I would say that, you know, just really it all is about communication. It's all about communication and just, you know, it was frustrating. We went through some really frustrating times for me.
Mm-hmm. Things beyond the baby bashing scandal.
Yeah, I mean, there is a little more. There's a little more. So you'll have to
wait and see.
Yes.
Okay.
You will wait and see.
Great.
Yes.
How is the reunion different? Because I feel like during the show, you're just kind of like living your lives, and you must have to think much more about what you're saying. Maybe.
Oh, it's exhausting. Oh, the reunion's exhausting. I mean, it's, you know, emotionally draining, especially for me for the last 2 years, you know, has not been pleasant. And my husband has had to come twice. So this year, you know, is our actual wedding anniversary. So I'm thinking, you know, he'll probably fly up here, but I do not think he'll make an appearance. and it's my daughter's birthday the next day. So, but anyhow, yeah. So I don't, you know, yeah, it's always stressful to have confrontation, especially for me. I hate confrontation. Like, I am not a fan of it. But I feel like this year will be a little different for me. I feel like I've stated my opinion pretty clearly, I feel like. So I think that's going to serve me. I do. Because I think that, you know, it is what it is. Like, my opinion's out there. So.
Well, last question, because we are getting the wrap up. I wanted to ask, who is definitively the queen bee of Dallas?
Oh, geez. Not me. So that's the positive. I mean, I'd go ahead and just give that crown on over to Deandra. She loves it and, you know.
Oh, wow. A vote for Deandra.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's like a goal in life for her. So I feel like she should have that. Like, if that is like important, then I think go for it, sister. Do it. But I do not want to be in that race. I'm gonna sidestep my way on out of it. I don't need to be. I mean, I compete with myself to be a driven person and do the right thing in life, but I don't need to compete with my girlfriends. That's like, I don't know. That's too much for me.
Right.
Yeah. I just want to lift them up. You know?
Yeah.
So let her have the crown. I'm lifting you up, baby. I'm lifting you up, Deandra. I'm lifting you up.
Well, thank you so much.
This
yeah.
was great.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, girls.
Of course.
All right. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do Rose and Thorn.
I'm very selfish. I did two roses, two thorns. And okay. They're all from OC.
That's what I always do. So it's fine.
So I'll start. One of my roses this week was Vicky. She starts, you know, going out with Steve, sort of getting in on his motorcycle riding hobby, so he's not doing it alone. And before she goes on her first ride, she's talking to her assistant, who tells her the worst motorcycle accident she ever watched. And she's like, yeah. And then another car ran over him.
I know.
It just is so dark and hilarious to tell someone about to go on their first motorcycle ride.
You know what any car accident always reminds me of?
Oh, what?
Meet Joe Black.
Yes.
Every time I get the image of poor little Brad.
Oh, such a good movie.
I know.
My other rose is on Flipping Out. This episode was so good. Particularly everything that had to do with that crazy neighbor across the street. And the fact that she was just going to rant and started being like, Sam back! I couldn't get enough. What was your rose this week?
It's kind of a selfish rose, okay. I'll say, because Kelly mentions that her daughter is doing theater and she was in Bugsy Malone. I, too, was in Bugsy Malone as a child.
This is the most racial rose I've ever heard in my life.
And it just, I don't know, that
well, what
made
did it,
me happy.
What did it, how did you feel when Kelly was basically calling all theater kids dorks?
I know. Well, that was going to be maybe my thorn for the week, too, to be like, you know what, Kelly? Some of us become very successful podcast hosts. So maybe you lay off theater kids being losers and dorks and twerps.
So one of my thorns this week was, okay, so Gina from Real Housewives of Orange County has been saying this whole thing, like, the divorce is going to be fine. Matt and I know what we're doing. We're going to take care of each other. Like, I don't need your advice. I'm good. And then when she had coffee with Vicky, and Vicky's like, well, you'll probably need insurance now. And Gina goes, no, Matt will keep me. And Vicky's like, no, he legally can't. And, like, the look in her eyes where she's like, this is kind like I'm not saying at all that I agreed with how Vicky's been approaching this whole thing, but that's what they were trying to tell you, is that there it's a lot when you get divorced. So that was hard.
It's like the bills, the water.
Right. And then with Shannon, right. Yeah. So my other thorn was, oh God, this is even hard to talk about. on OC, they were talking about, have you ever walked in on your parents having, or no. It started by Gina saying, as a 30-year-old, it still grosses me out to see my parents kiss. And Kelly goes, you think that's bad? When I was in college, I walked in on my dad.
I'm going to throw up.
I know.
So
oh
my God.
Bad.
No.
I am scarred for life, and it wasn't even me.
How do you recover from that?
You don't.
We discussed this earlier in the week, and our coworker Crystal was like, oh, yeah, I had a sleepover once.
Yeah.
And right above us upstairs, you could hear my mom and stepdad having sex.
Oh.
Things you should never see.
No, do you have any stories, Nicole?
I mean, I walked in on my parents when I was younger. But I was, like, so young. I didn't see bodies. I just saw things under covers. And I, like, ran to my room. Like, sprinted. I said, I don't.
You knew you weren't supposed to see that.
No. And no one ever approached me about it. Thank God. But, yeah, I still remember. Ugh, my parents haven't even had, like, the sex talk with me, like, ever.
Oh, that's why you don't know what anything is.
I had to learn on my own.
Yeah, that's it.
Eric?
No, I am a virgin, pun intended. Never seeing anything happen. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, but you know, I've never experienced such things yet.
You're lucky.
Parents, lock your doors.
Totally. My thorn, besides Kelly shaming theater kids,
right?
I was gonna say this weird, very drunk guest on Below Deck. Which, like, at one point he gets on the jet ski wasted and refuses to put on a life vest. And Captain Lee is like, get his ass back on the boat. And he's, like, so mad. And it's so uncomfortable. And he was on last season with the foam.
Right.
He just is so such an uncomfortable human to me.
Mm.
But my real thorn is saying goodbye.
Well, I want your ultimate rose and thorn. Okay. I want this whole podcast journey.
Okay. I was thinking about, like, my favorite interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of my favorites, I'll go through them all. Maybe I think our very first or maybe second interview with Jax ever.
Oh, okay.
Where he was just, like, in his feelings because Kentucky had just happened. And then we're going into the first season or the next season of Vanderpump Rules.
Right, and he couldn't tell us what happened.
Right, but he was like, I think bad. Realizing that, like, the world's going to know that I cheated on Brittany with Faith in a room with an elderly person.
Right.
So it was like, he just poured his heart out to us.
Yeah.
That I will always remember. To Steve Gold.
Oh, right.
Right. It was just great. And then, like, another huge, amazing moment that it, like, will flash before my eyes when I die, I'm sure, is us being bartenders on Watch What Happens Live. It was maybe the highlight of my career. Probably won't get better than that. Unless I'm like a guest on Watch What Happens Live someday, which it won't happen. But yeah.
Hey.
You never know.
Yeah,
dream
never
big.
Dream. Putting that on my vision board. Vicky got Steve. So obviously that's a huge highlight for me. And just like, I feel like, you know, working here, obviously working on Housewives, we go to reunions. It's really cool. But I feel like I've been able to have, like, really amazing conversations with our cast in a way that, like, I would only ever dream to, especially when we get a lot of time with them. Like, I had an amazing conversation with Dr. Jackie last season when she was going through her divorce. Mm-hmm. I love that interview still. I interviewed Brittany, and it was super fun from Vanderpump Rules. And she just was super honest, and I got to ask her, like, everything you've ever wanted to ask Brittany Cartwright. It's just been amazing the whole time. And obviously, like, just geeking out on Bravo, which is, like, why I started working here to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this podcast happened so organically when someone said, you know, we're thinking about doing podcasts, and they said, you know, we hear you guys outside my office. Do you guys want to do this? So, I mean, I just so vividly remember the first day of even giving it a go in a small conference room. Like, could we do a podcast? And just talking about the Ireland trip from OC. And it's insane to me where we are today. The fans that have, you know, reached out to us every week. And none of that would have happened without you. And it's going to be very sad to come in here and to record and not see you across from me. Thank you for everything and for being such a partner in this, because now who's going to be able to be in weird photo shoots with me and to then have to see those photos again and again and again. So I'm going to miss you so much. I know the listeners are going to miss you so much. But thank you for everything that you've given to the podcast.
I mean, like, everything you just said and more, you know, with you too. Like, this is all because you were like, hey, do you want to go in a conference room with me? You know? And it's like, I can't believe what we've been able to accomplish together. And I just thank you so much. I feel like I'm going where I'm going, and I've become who I am because you, you know. So thank you so much. It's mm-hmm. been, like, an honor.
Obviously, this has been just emotionally draining. Therefore, I am leaving on vacation tomorrow for a week. But I didn't want to leave anyone hanging for another week. So we have asked a Bravo celebrity to step in to be the guest host next week. I'm not going to tell you who. So you have to tune in. I can't wait. I know she's going to kill it.
Yes.
Tell everyone where they can follow
you. Oh, right. You can find me at Suspiciously Small on Instagram and at Rachie Rob on Twitter. Please keep reaching out to me about everything Bravo, because I will, of course, forever and always watch and love Bravo.
And be a fan forever.
Yes, it's never going away.
And you can follow me everywhere at Meg Segura.
And you can follow me on Instagram at @allday_Nikki.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.